of devotees. He said it. The epic of the episode of the three called Mechira Sefer. He started to tell the story in the Yeshe, the whole Sidra mutate is devoted to Mechira Sefer, and also the Yigash, some exception, is the photo which is mostly most concerned with Mechira Sefer. The way Chazal, our sages, is Mechiras Yesha is the beginning of Jewish history. And I want to explain. When you say the beginning of Jewish history, someone in the audience may challenge me. And then they ask me what? So you, anyone here? Huh? Avraham. The pioneer of Jewish history, the first Jewish historical figure, is Avraham, not. And he's Christus Brit, he's the Almighty, not the Mechiras Yosef, the Seraph Yosef as a slave. True, but Avraham, and I think the beginning of Jewish history is Mechiras Yosef, or rather in reverse, Mechiras Yosef is the beginning of Jewish history, the history of a people, history of a group, of an entity, of a collective entity. Call it a people, a family, a clan, doesn't matter, the name doesn't matter. There is no history of an individual. As an individual, Jewish history, or the Jewish great historical experience, experience of the people, I mean, which was committed itself, I mean, not to the future, but to eternity, this began with Joseph. But Joseph had already as a family, as a base Yaakov. Vele shmeiz bnei Yisrael avoyim et traimo. Beis Yaakov, ishu beis yibo. Why does it have to emphasize ishu beis yibo? Understand, we understand very well. If the Shvatim, I mean, emigrated from Eretz Israel to Mitzrayim and to Mitzrayim, so did their family from there. But if they emphasize that issue, basically, that from now on, from the day on which they stepped over the boundary divided Egypt from Eretz Israel, the history of the Jew began on that day. Interesting is a certain Medrash. The Medrash asks, why the Medrash gives a list of names who could have intervened and they could have defended Yosef and brought him back, and he could have brought Yosef back to the father. But they were busy, it's a very strange matter, they were busy. Reuven, the Medrash says, was busy because he was concerned with Tshuva, because Reuven realized that his mistake he made so many years ago, around in Shem or many years out of Israel, is now actually responsible for the great catastrophe the great catastrophe of a house split against itself is responsible for this great catastrophe. Hadn't Reuven committed the act of disrespect, of show disrespect and protest against the father, Mechiras Yosef wouldn't have taken place. The whole story that the house was split started with Reuven. Started with Reuven. Hadn't Reuven started, I mean, the rebellion, unconsciously. Reuven didn't want, I mean, to somehow tell the Shvatim that to be critical of Yaakov. But all right, what he did it. And this actually was, is responsible, the Vayevachu, Vayishkab Israel, for a year, for the great tragedy which actually divided, almost destroyed the Yaakov Ubonov, the covenant and all promises, is Reuven responsible. And that's why Reuven was busy. He was engaged in penitential, actions or sacrifices. And then the Medrash has a few cases, and then says, Vakodish Baruch Hu. What's about the Almighty? So the Medrash gives a straight answer. Hoshukoyo Be'eri Shal Moshiach. The Almighty was concerned and was busy preparing the light of Mashiach, it means in weaving and creating the image of the Melech HaMashiach. What does it mean? It means The Melech HaMashiach, or the idea of Geula, and all the ideas, to which the Knesset Yisrael has committed itself later, were born on the day on which Yosef was sold. To the Bedouins as a slave. It means Jewish history began on that day. And the Medrash means HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You see, when you say with regard to Reuven, you see also Koyo Betanitzi, Betzene, he was busy with fasting and praying and penitential practices. So it's a good answer. Reuven was busy. But what is it? They ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Almighty was concerned that he did not intervene. Why didn't the Almighty intervene? This is the question the Medrash asked. So what's the answer? He was busy, Almighty busy. You can say he was busy, who was busy? So he couldn't intervene, he tried to intervene, but then he ran off to the Medrash to say it's now. You cannot say Yitzchak on the one hand reciting Slichas. But with regard to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what does it mean? It means HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kali Yochel had to do it, but otherwise it wouldn't have been a Jewish history. The idea of the specific, unique mode of existence which is the characterization of the אפאל פחיר אמאבל בקיסר בקיסר בנר חישה בישראל עמים this image of the Melech HaMashiach had to have, was necessary, could only be woven as the event which took place on the day. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he had sympathy of course with the Beis Yaakov, which was about to be split and find itself at war with each other, but he couldn't help it. Kali Yochel, if the Jews or the Jacob and Yosef and the tribes should become the people, Am HaNichor, so Yosef had to be sold Israel. There is also not also he had not time to supervise the events or to intervene. He could have intervened, but then he Jewish history would have been destroyed. It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and since HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Kali Yochel determined to have Jewish history should actually become a reality, so he had to do something which was very unpleasant. What was this something? To allow Mechiras Yisrael. der Lauf mich hier, mich hier, das Jüdisch. Und das war in Intervention, ich didn't intervene, because the intervention would have meant, complete annulment, as all the crisis bridge with Avrom, Yitzchak, Yaakov. There wouldn't have been a Jewish start experience, what we call Akub HaKam, the experience of the community, which was chosen by the Almighty in order to carry out, to implement the purpose of creation. Also, Koyo Be'ir Yishon Mashiach. Now, in general, even though you read the story of Mechir HaShemitim, many problems come up in our mind. Very strange problems. The whole story is sometimes so against, so mysterious, bordering on the paradoxical, that we don't understand exactly what happened. Why had the Mechir HaShemitim been actually so strange and completely and completely almost, let's say, illogical. And interesting is, let us just survey a few events, the way they are recorded in the parsha. Vayishlochei me'emek chevren. Vayishlochei me'emek chevren. Vayim tu ish v'nirutei v'ashode. Vayim ale, mi ata mevakesh? Vayim ale, ach hayon eche mevakesh. Vayim ale yoyish, vayim ale yoyish, שמעתי אמרים מלכות ישראל. וילך ואיכול לדייסון, וייצם שם, וייצם בדייסון. Usually whoever is, knows the style of the Torah, the biblical method of recording and reporting events, knows that Tanakh never pays attention to secondary rate events which happen, must have had, which even though they are necessary, it is necessary to know about them, the event couldn't have taken place without those events or occurrences, so the Torah does not care as far as reporting about those events are concerned. For instance, actually, if we were just, when we were interested only in the main event, it would have been Vayishlochei me'emek chevren, Vayelach deison, Vayelach deison deisono, Vayimtzim shem. What made him go instead of Shem to deison is completely irrelevant, and the Tanakh would have never recorded such a thing. What was important about the whole Yishev journey? That Yishev actually important is that the result of the journey was Mechir HaShemitim. So what difference was the Ish? He got lost, and the Ish, I mean, told him that he overheard, that they decided to move on from Shem to Dayson, and because the Ish told it to him, Yishev went. Who is concerned with the Ish? In general, the Ish in Tanakh is a very strange word. It is very, sometimes it has multiple meanings, very strange. And what is important is the fact that in the Mechir HaShemitim, the word Ish keeps on repeating. There's no need to write Vayim Alei Yish. Vayim Alei Yish. Not so Mika. Shemaite Emurim Lecho Dun Sano. Then Yevish in... Avesef? Vayim Alei Yish Alochim is not Yish. When I say Vayimari Ish, it's Ish alone. The lonely noun, the noun, but not Vayimari Ish alone means they say to each other. There is, for instance, whoever do you have, would you have, what do you say? Ish, but God, the guy, Ish, I didn't know what Dibber of him was, right? Now, Vayimari Ish, for the Ish, Asher Alabai, Lois, Asher Alabai. The people said, Vayimari Ish, Ella Asher Alabai. No. Vayimari Ish, Lois, Asher Alabai. Vayimari Ish, Lois. Matmin, not some of the Kiyah Vesechem. When they told him the story with the money, that they found the money in their bed. He said, it's a treasure with that punishment. But the Almighty gave you each. Then Yosef, then the Shvatim reported Jacob about the events and the experiences they lived through, I mean, during their journey to Mitzrayim, by Daber Oleinu Yish Adeinu Yoret. Cautious. And then Jacob himself said, Mikil Shedai, Mikil Lachem Rachamim, Deinu Yish. What is ish? What does it mean? What ish means in Hebrew is not just an individual. No. Not at all. It is ish, many times an ish means an individual actually who had no business to get involved in that. There is, ish means strange, a stranger. Not so much an individual. A stranger. One who actually was outside of the historical frame of reference which the Torah wanted, I mean, frame of reference for the event. He's an outsider. An outsider. And particularly mysterious and still hard to understand what his interest lies. It's hard to understand and an outsider. The one who doesn't belong to the whole drama is outside of that frame of reference. The question, why in tray or east, they have a sort of, and this ish, the ish, is not a, he was not involved. He's a very strange person. A strange personality. Yaakov, that's why in Vayeshev, when he takes, the word ish is used quite frequently because it is the story of the most ununderstandable, enigmatic events which somehow brought about the events in the creation. People, we don't understand why there is, so Rashi says, Ish, Zer Gabriel Amalach. It means, but not a human being. Because if he had been a human being, somebody, if it was just somebody, they wouldn't have asked Yosef what is he searching for, what's his business. Yosef said, it's not your business. What he was searching for, that he would not eagerly, you have the impression that there is eagerly asked. He wanted Jesus to interrogate him more and more. And he wanted to tell Jesus where his brothers were. As if the Ish had an interest in the event which will take place, which was supposed to take place, which was tremendous. The Ish wanted to inform Jesus correctly, to the precisely where they are. Vayelech, by him saying Bedoshan is the impression I have from the word, or what is, or between the words, means that the Ish told him how to get the Doishan, how to get. They gave him a map of that geographic place called Doishan. And he told him, he gave him specific instructions how to journey to the to Doishan and how to find them. As he was eager that Jesus meet his brothers, but not for a good purpose. Not if it's reconciliation, but for the purpose of complete alienation. The issue was easier. And the same when the Shvatim tell Yaakov, and they tell him, Dibra Leinu Ish, what is the next word? Adena Oret, Tondo Koshesh. What do they emphasize? Koshesh here is not so much means in the sense of entry or hard work, but it's more Dibra Leinu Ish, Adena Oret. Koshesh means this mysterious man, this paradoxical, what happened? I mean, after all, why is he this? What follows? It is strange, I mean. We don't understand what motivates a stranger, I mean, to make such accusations, I mean, against us. What effect did it? We don't understand it. No one could understand. Father, you want to know why, what is it? We don't know. You know, but I would give you that. But he said that you cannot get any food unless the Yomim will come and join them. And Yaakov, Chazal said, he stalk with Shina. He had no inspiration, no Shina, no clairvoyance. So Yaakov also said, V'kir Shadarai Yitin Lachem Rachmim Be'enuiz. Who is he? I don't know. I don't know myself. Who is this Ish? Who is Mitzrayim? And interesting, in the Tanakh combines the term Ish and Neorot Mitzrayim, which the term of I say Ish Teva Sorin, perhaps it's the same person. It is the same person, who knows? Well, perhaps there are two different personages. In Egypt, there is a Ish, whom we don't understand. And Shem, the Yish traveled to find his brother, to journey, to find what? It was a different Ish. But there's a common denominator in both, I would say, Ishim, or Anoshim, when I say Anoshim. There's a common denominator in the Ish of Dayson and the Ish in Mitzrayim, who is the boss of the land, who owns the land, and he, what is the common denominator? The common denominator is that we were amazed simply to discover the identity. But Dibra Leinu Ish had the Oret, but what does it matter? Whether the Rish is right or wrong, whether the Rish is malicious, or is sympathetic, whether the Rish is actual, wants help to help us or wants to destroy us, we don't know. But Adni Oret, he's the master of the world. So what can you do? What can you do? You have to comply with him. He gave us a warning. No compliance, no food. That's what he told him. Dibra Leinu Ish, Adni Oret. He's either the Satan or Malach, but we don't know what he is. And so I don't believe we have much choice to disagree with the Ish, because the Ish is Adni Oret. Then, The second time, the second. Very, very well. οι βίες τα νόσημα μπορούν να νοσηθούν. Τι
πού
είναι τα νόσημα τα νόσημα. The people there. It's mehr, wie schwierig ist, da war noch immer zu den Strangers. I mean, jene, wo wir es an Oshima Boisho, das war auch schon?
Ja.
Und ich war ich
auch
an
Oshima Boisho, das war auch schon? Ja.
Who they are, I don't know. Apparently they are the Rasher of boys ask Jesus, who are those people? Suddenly they are the Jesus, the Viceroy or the Prime Minister of Egypt. At times the most powerful powerful empire in the Middle East. They said to the suddenly Jesus gives an exception in their honor. Like eating Yehu and Noshim Batroi, because I don't know who they are. Perhaps they represent somebody very powerful. I want to be on good terms with them. Yehu, eating Yehu and Noshim. There was no other reason that Yehu could have motivated Yehu to be a receptioner or a reception in their honor. Go with one motif. What is one motif? Namely, I don't know who they are. And perhaps I mean they are very powerful, who knows what they are. So anyway, let us receive them cordially and feast them. Because you know, it's a very strange motivation. Because, not because I know him, he's a great scholar and a great benefactor. And a great ethical personality, no, just opposite. Because I don't know who he is, I don't know what kind of scholarship he possesses, I don't know anything about them, and I don't know their identity. And they're not ready to reveal their identity. Therefore, let us receive them receive them nicely and treat them like people who deserve the reception. And then, as I said before, what motivated Jesus to act the way he did act, and what motivated the Shvatim to act in their way which they consider the best. So what was the main motivation? My motivation was Oish, Vanoshim. We don't know who they are, and that's why you should act like, in order not to intervene or interfere with certain designs. And we didn't know what kind of designs and who is the one who planned it, all that. You know, not in order to be with of kind, you know, good relations with people whom we don't know, you don't understand. And we have doubt whether they'll be understood, those people be understood in the future. This is what is more, and that's why the motivation was that from the East. There's a feeling of strangeness, there's a feeling of strangeness and complete lack of understanding. Basically, the Mechiras Yesi was an illogical act, that's what the Torah emphasizes. Logically, it could have never come. It could have never become a reality. What is the most enigmatic aspect of this story of association is there will be the second confrontation between Yehuda and Yosef. But let us analyze the whole story. 10 people come to Yosef and they ask for bread, for food. You want to buy? They had a lot of money. He said, we will pay you whatever you will ask for the food, but we want food. Yosef says, no, you don't want food. Food is just a disguise for you. You want what you want. This is a professional spy, and if there are 10 people, and the sons of one individual, why do they have to say it? 10 people are at the Malden or at the Rebbe Kneshet. 10 people, the sons of one person. He's, of course, you understand very well the such spies of one family, we are not just small fry, so to say. I mean, they did some intelligence work, but they actually, 10 people, the sons of one family, members of one family, if they are all spies, apparently they are very successful. That means real spies. That means actually they are the head of the intelligence service of some enemy country. That's what Yitzchak accused them of. That's what you could derive from Yitzchak. Right. And he told them, no, and they say it's not true. So Yitzchak puts up a condition that he can only prove, I mean, that they are sincere, if they'll bring with them. This is a good method, a good detective work. So they send them to Mishnah, arresting one of them, Shimon, and the brothers got strict instructions that without the Yemen they should not even come return to Egypt for food because they wouldn't get it. Alright? Slaymeter, the Prime Minister, the Viceroy, let us say in Parliament or in any other place, makes an official accusation that is 10 people, he told the people, the Avdi Pari, whoever the Avdi Pari, I mean, whether they were members of the Congress or the servants of the King, it's not important. But it was a public announcement. Yes, he did not say it so just secretly. It was a public announcement that the Prime Minister, the Viceroy, below the Leor Emissus, not the Vestralen, has accused, when most probably, I mean, he mentioned the state for whose way, the enemy who is behind this plan. The plan is simply to destroy the Mitzrayim, right? It's a very clear indictment. The bill of particulars, there's nothing to worry about. So if they'll come back without Binyamin, so then they'll be executed. Suddenly, I mean, a time passed, and they came back, and instead of asking them a simple question, is Binyamin here or not? If Binyamin is here, it's coming. But if Binyamin hasn't come, I mean, so I don't want to talk to you. But what did he do? He organized a reception for them. As if he and they were friends, I mean, for years. Not only organized a reception, he gave them a reception, Da war so ein Fiest, nicht? Da war was morgen wird, die diesem Exchange Exchange of Gift, Exchange of, not only of Gift, but of, Exchange not only of Gift, but of, Statement of Devotion and Love. And when Yeshe, when the Binyamin was introduced, Yeshe said, Rekim Yochnechobli, may God bestow His love and sympathy and compassion upon thee, my son. If he used my son in order he used when he addressed himself to Binyamin, it's too intimate. It is not so intimate, it's crazy. It is strange, I mean, absurd. To say a person who a few weeks ago I accused of espionage work, of being the head and the chief, all ten of them, of being the spies for an enemy country, I accused them officially and was ready to execute all of them. And now it's not only he rendered a decision. I mean, tendered a reception for them. More than that. He drank with them and got drunk with them. And this was done by the minister, by the vice prime minister of Egypt. It was done with the Prime Minister of Egypt, who in order to the Prime Minister who said that those people are not friends of the land of the Eretz Mitzrayim, but enemies. I mean, this is plain, simple, an act of suicide. The Egyptians couldn't have chosen a better way of committing suicide than this way. What would the Sparrow say? What would Paris say? What would we say if the President of the United States should act like this? The President of the United States should go up to the Congress, just make a declaration. What will a state in Congress, before the full Congress, the whole Assembly? 350 or 400 or 500 deputies, representatives of the land, should say that they have evidence, and our president can do it. He has evidence that actually there is a conspiracy to spark it, and there was a conspiracy to kill him. You can find it in the papers today. To kill him and conquer, invade the land, and introducing the land of a communist regime or any kind of regime. The Raglimat, the Mary Sorsky Bosom. The Sarah Sorsky Bosom. All right, so the Congress applauded because the Prime Minister has protected the country from being destroyed. You imagine, they said, and everybody was proud that they have such a clever and intelligent prime minister, a viceroy. And suddenly, a few weeks later, the news is, you know what happened? The prime minister received the people who are indicted for espionage, for doing espionage work for an enemy country. Receive them in the government house, eating, anoshim ele batsharoi, not only receive them, he gave them gifts, and kissed them, and they exchange stones, exchange gifts. So, I mean, it means that if such a thing would have happened nowadays, with the Prime Minister would have been removed from office immediately, investigation started against me, And actually, I mean, and actually, it would have been destroyed. Again, the iti yechlu anoshim batzoroyim, is again the answer. Why do we do it? Because the iti yechlu anoshim batzoroyim, I simply don't know who they are. That's what it's all Arla Baish, and who we compiled. I don't know who they are. The answer is, I reacting strangely, apparently they are. The Rasha Basi, I mean, pointed out to him, what are you doing? He's going to eat in Yechlu Anoshim Batsoroyim. The people who live this afternoon with me are Anoshim. They're strangers. I don't know. So that's why I act like it. The way I act in a manner which, of course, is absurd, ridiculous, illogical, but I can't help it. I have to act like it. And then there are two words. Here in Tanakh, I mean Chumash, which I doubt Vayishti, that there is a story in Shmuel, the noble Israeli, the episode about noble Israeli and David. What was the name of the Abigail and David? Is the Torah gives a portrait Abigail, Torah portrays Abigail, not Abigail, I mean noble Israeli, in terms which are very, very sharp terms. You read it, Vayomid Vatovi Abigail Vinyushika. You give it to him. Yeah, look. Come on, Alina Shalem, the Besko, Reish of Mati, the Kelech. Excuse me, I just. Wait, now, please. Okay. Zei shemate vekelech veste ponayich vatova vigayel al novo vini lei miste beveisei te miste anelech velev novo tevolov. It's almost similar to the story which the Torah gives us in Mikkeitz. Vushiker ad meid velei gidrei dover kotme vegodel at eir adegya. And the Tere here also says in a similar manner, Vayishtu Vayishtu. Not only they give batonis to each other, not only Yeshiv. Yeshiv couldn't control himself. Yeshiv did something which was, I mean, from a logical viewpoint would have led to his alienation of the mid of Pare. He would have been removed from the position of Prime Minister Minister. From a logical viewpoint, he did something awful. Something awful. I mean, we don't understand. You know why? Because he had no control over himself. Vayishtu vayishtu vayishtu. He was shikah. It means actually when Yosef has received the people the second time, he couldn't help himself. because he actually experienced the real love. And after all, if you read the story of Mechira Kesey, the story tells us, basically more or less, that Yosef didn't know how to act. To receive them as brothers and forget what he did to them, or on the contrary, to punish them because they deserve it, for another crime, not for espionage, for another crime. Yosef was wavering. He didn't know exactly, isn't they disobeyed? And basically when he sent them back to Canaan with a request or a demand for Binyamin, it was also to gain time which he considered necessary, which is of tremendous significance. And actually in during this interim, he might perhaps find a solution to the moral problem with his conscience, I mean, confronted him, which confronted his conscience. And he used to run into the room, into the private room, used to cry, and wipe his tears and come out again. So you see, he was upset. He didn't know how to act, not to punish. I mean, it's important that he didn't care for his father. They sold him while knowing that his father will simply not be able to survive this disaster, or not to punish because the Jews should not be vindictive. So a moral problem, a personal problem. He sent them off because he knew they'll come again because they had no food. And then he'll solve the problem later because he didn't know what to do. That's why the whole acrobatics which he employed, it was in order of gaining time and understand what to do. But this was the first time. When it's Vaya Yosef, Vaya Kirim, Vayizikir as a Chalemish. When it says Vayizikir as a Chalemish, remember, do you believe the case? You didn't remember. It's not a small event. But Vayizikir as a Chalemish, it means Vayizikir in the sense not Vayizikir remembering, but Vayizikir in the sense of expecting. Zocher is a Mashalot L'Tatshe, means be prepared for the Sabbath. Zocher is a Mashalot L'Tatshe means expect the Sabbath to come. This is very Rambam. Not remember. Remember, one needs to remember Shabbat. No one makes a mistake about Shabbat. Vayizikir as a Chalemish, he simply expected that Yosef, by Yisrael Karemis, he remembered, he expected during the many years, during the period of many years, he expected that such a confrontation will take place. The question is how to act as far as this confrontation is concerned. And the second time, and will you be so kind and read, in Chumash the second time, Vayika Sharon Yosef. Oh, before that. Vaya Yosef. Yes. It means that the second time that they came in, Yosef suddenly was overcome Yosef couldn't help himself. He had to treat them as brothers. Vayishtu, vayishkeru means they drank. And they were intoxicated, confused. Vayishkeru in the sense of being confused. Yosef was vayishtu, vayishkeru. Yosef was confused. Somehow, Yosef feels love for them. The second time, first time it was a problem. Should I treat them as brothers or should I treat them as strangers? Should I be vindictive? Shouldn't I be vindictive? The second time there was no suffering in Yeshua's mind. That he should recognize them as brothers. And the matter of fact, and the experience, the orders which he gave to his manager, were not just make believe orders. He didn't want to fool anybody. He felt for them a great love the second time. Second time the problem was resolved in his mind. Now my brothers, we are one family, one household, one group of success, one group of people, we are in the world, they are my brothers, regardless of their behavior of so many years ago, they are my brothers. And if they are my brothers, so the whole story of Mechilat was forgotten. In the darkness of the night, and in the simple and the as a matter, as the apostle says, with regard to Noble, Vini Yushika, in complete confusion, he forgot the charges of that they are spies. There was no problem anymore. The moral problem from the Ragnarok disappeared the second time. And of course, he gained the brothers whom he hadn't seen for a long time, so you have to receive them properly. That he himself made accusations against them about being spies and being intelligence agents, those accusations were completely disappeared. He looked upon their brother, them as brothers. He treated them as brothers, and somehow a stream of love and joy and great love, compassion love, replaced Yosef's anger and wrath against them, and the memories which he had of years ago, how they practiced chicanery against him. And when the process is Vayishtu remake, means Yosef actually found the brothers. He found the brothers. He knew all the time who the brothers were. But he found love in his heart for the brothers. Vayishtu remake. Is it logical? Of course not logical. But there's almost a change of personality, of memory in Yosef. Yosef forgot the Mechira. The first time they came, he said, Vayizekiras Chalemet. Vayakiresom Vayizekiras Chalemet. And as we Rashi interpreted, what did he remember? And I told you, Vayizekiras means to expect sometimes, is to remember. What was there to remember? What was the, whatever he remembered was bad. His day, the years of his sojourning in Yankee's house. Why was he so emotionally so upset? This was the first time was by Yitzchak HaLevi. By Yitzchak HaLevi is actually, we interpret it in negative terms. Namely, by Yitzchak HaLevi is because, since by Yitzchak HaLevi is the horrible HaLevi and actually the way that they treated him, they insulted and hurt his feelings, and wanted to kill him, and they sold him as a slave. All those events came back to Yosef by Yisrael of Halevi. Just right. And this is what happened the first time. By Yemer, what is by Yisrael of Halevi? So what did they say? No, by Yisrael of Halevi, the remembrance itself was negative. For a simple reason, because there was nothing in the biography of Yosef. Yosef remembering or remembering this, what happened in Yaakov, in Jacob's house, there was not a single one remembrance which could be classified, oh, it was very pleasant for Yaakov. They treated Yaakov well. They didn't treat him well at all. So the poser says, Vayitza Kirat HaLemish, means Vayitza HaLemish, and he wanted to simply to do with them what they did to him. This Vayitza, this was the first arrival, Vayitza. The second arrival, Yeshua was a changed person. What happened, I mean, what actually was the main factor to change his mind? To change his mind, I don't know, but he was a changed person. Then the second, when the brothers came the second time, so there is no Vayitza here as a Halemesh. It's simply the Halemesh, because he forgot the Halemesh. He didn't remember any, and if he did remember, if he had remembered, so in the at the bottom of his just in a debate, if he did remember, he resolved them completely, the problems. It was the old years of the brother before Mechira station. So he exchanged matones and he exchanged what not, matones and declaration of love, and he was not afraid to display his affection for Binyamin and Kim Yochanan. And the Torah says, you know what happened? Vayishtu vayishkeru meir. Yesif was shikya, means illogical. Yesif was illogical, not understanding the danger which was involved in his friendly, cordial treatment of the brothers. And the brothers, after all, the brothers should also have understood. The brothers should have understood that who else could give an Egyptian prime minister gives a reception for the Shvuah, for the Achi Yosef, and he announces their names in accordance to age, and he gives a reception and the present of his gift, presents. And the Kim Yochanan, they should have understood the brother. Well, were them? We don't thought Zvur was a merchant, was not a fool Zvur. Yisocha was a scholar, not a fool either. Shimon the Levi were not fools, Shimon the Levi. So where was the Balabati Shasehu? Where was it? Comes to somebody, Adeni Oret, an Egyptian, they needed an interpreter in order to communicate with them. And somebody such love, I mean, they all love so much, nobody, the love for brothers and exchange matones and exchange gifts and tones. The brothers apparently, Ech Vayishtu Vayishtu Vayishtu. Vayishko, they simply, the intellect did not work for one night. They didn't know. They didn't know that it is. Was it so difficult to put two and two together? Like Zvu, Shimon, the intelligent people can swat it. But when actually, this was the whole night. This is the night which, why is it? Now, why the night means here the same as a noble Israeli? A time which actually, I mean, the reason and intellect somehow disappear. And they still didn't know who Yeshua was. After all, I mean, they could have found his identity if they had a reason. If they had thought reasonably, but they didn't. Yeshua did not. This changing Yosef from Adeni Oretz into Adeni Oretz into in the broader meaning. Adeni Oretz means the tyrant of the land. It's Adeni Oretz. And he told the archivist what he wanted. What can he do from that? He expected sympathy on the part of Adeni Oretz. He couldn't expect this stranger. That's what he told Yaakov. The second time when they came, and they spent it for one night, Yaakov in Yosef declared, knew very well that he will not punish them, and he decided in favor of not of mercy and pardon, nothing, not that, but in favor of acknowledge reconciliation with them as brothers, reconciliation. And the brothers were confused and they didn't know what's all about. The simplest manner, the simplest way, to identify each other was as easy as the identification of the person who I just yesterday saw, whom I met here. I met here last night. So simple. The answer is what the story you just read is correct. And Yosef, the clever, the intelligent, the cautious, and who actually saved the empire of Egypt and adjacent countries from starvation and famine. This Yosef acted like a fool, not a fool, like a drunk. He acted like a drunk because the second time he was overcome decided to somehow not to be vindictive, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu actually made it possible for him to forget all the experiences He went through, he lived through, and but one. Remember, what is the one experience? Yosef, brothers. How can a brother sell? How can one sell his brother to Ishmael? Yosef was not bothered by that anymore, because Vayishkahu. They drank, they lost their minds. But hadn't they lost their minds? Yosef would have never offered a reception, such a gallery with reception to his brothers, and the brothers would have recognized him right away. But when the mind is beclouded, when one is drunk, this means. Sit here in Hebrew, in Tanakh, is not only. Actually, Shkura Shulaymi Yoin, we have this question. It's not just when you drink alcohol. Shika means when a man lacks the power of thinking, of deducting, of arriving at conclusions, of identifying people and so forth. It was a night of reconciliation between a brother and brother, which was about to end when Ashmeres Abeta. Abeta Reir, but this did not last long. Abeta Reir. All this, the experience, the fantastic experience of Yosef with regard to the brothers. He felt that he has got to receive them nicely because they are his brothers. There were no logical arguments were completely unacceptable, and Yosef didn't look for anything to somehow change it. The night was a night of secrets, of confusion. Yosef recognized them as brothers, and they, they felt that somehow they were still, in their minds were enveloped in a cloud, and they didn't know what it's all about. And this regaining of consciousness, memory, it was started with the rising of the dawn, and with the rising of the dawn, Yosef's experience changed. It was again the real experience, it was the old experience of and the urge of vindictiveness. With the rising of the dawn, the story changed. What was it, the rising of the dawn? He said, "Va beker eir ve'anoshim shulchu." Mit va beker eir v'achi Yosef shulchu. The meaning of v'achi Yosef was that again a business with anoshim. V'achi Yosef shulchu. And that in the Chumash several times keeps on repeating, "Achi, achi, achi, achi Yosef." He is not achi. V'anoshim shulchu. The strange people, that the whole drama is a strange drama. And something else, the word shulchu, what does it mean, shulchu? If the Torah said nishlachu, it is an assignment. When I send somebody to your house an assignment, you say nishlachu. Shulchu means, what does shulchu mean? Huh? Yeah, but what is shulchu? Shulchu means simply removed, expelled. Bashmeres Abeter, when the dawn began to rise, they were not brothers anymore. They were anoshim, strange anoshim. We have absolutely no right to live in the presidential, the prime minister's palace. And the anoshim were thrown out, the Bach Yosef, thrown out by Yosef's security guard. and simply forbade them to enter the gardens. V'anosim shulchlami, a complete alienation between Yosef and the brothers. Complete denunciation of the brothers by Yosef. What are you doing here on the ground? Out! There was no Reuven, no Shimon, no Levi, no Yehuda, no Yisachar. No, there were no kisses and presentation of gifts. And Tfilas, and Tim Yochnochadni, there was no outpour of love as far as Benjamin is concerned. Again, the old Egyptian, the cruel old face, the cruel face of the Adeni. Again, Adeni was a tyrant who can execute hundreds of people. To a different scenery, the scenery at night, and the scenery in the morning, at dawn, just Alisha Shafa. Two different experiences. What was the scenery at night? Was love and understanding and brotherliness. Everybody felt brotherliness for each other. In the morning, the same Raglimatim Gurusheshayavasarajbosem, and here he had another excuse to bring them back because of the goblet, they stole the goblet. Now, there is something else. Yosef, Yehuda, when Yehuda came over to Yosef, he said, "Dabar ne'avdoch ha'dabar boz me'adeni, or yicha rabcho ve'avdecho, ve'avdecho, kiv micho micho kifare." And basically, what did he tell him? Nothing. As the Rambam says, he told him all the stories which Yosef knew from his own experience. The Rambam says, this is the Rambam says. So what did he tell him? And he's afraid to speak because he should not be punished later for insulting the king, because insulting apparently according to Egyptian laws, to insult the vice minister, the prime minister, is like, or the viceroy, is like insulting the king. There was a severe punishment for this less majesty. This is, what did he tell him? Did he insult him? Didn't he insult him? Didn't say a word? Not a single word he said. He told him this, rehearsed the stories. There wasn't, it was, what he was, he said, you get told him, listen, but don't be angry. He is lies in the word Vayigash here. The word Vayigash in Hebrew, Agoshev, Nigash Akei, the Hebrew Alom, means not only shifting, moving from one place to another, coming nearer. This is Vayigash. To coming near. And this is not only an expression for, as far as movement from locus to locus is concerned, it's also an expression which characterizes sometimes the coming nearer of two people. Not in terms of movement and motion, but in terms of experiencing friendship. Sometimes you approach a person, but you still feel distant from him. In terms of, but in certain times you approach a person by coming nearer. It means that by simply diminishing, reducing not the distance, the physical distance, but the distance between individual and the individual, between two people, between two strangers. The only one who noticed that, who knew, apparently he knew that this is Yosef. He didn't say a word. Yehuda didn't say a word. He was Yehuda. But Yigash said of Yehuda and told him, "Never mind the stories, but I'll tell you something which you wouldn't like. We are looking for Joseph, he's right here." Yosef Yehuda understood it. The Shvatim, the rest didn't understand the word. Yehuda understood it. Vayida Hashem lo Yehuda vayemer bi adeni. Why should Yehuda be angry at him? Because I'm going to say something which you wouldn't like. Kimicho mecho kepare. You don't punish me for what I'm going to say. What was he going to say, Yehuda? The fact you are Jews. And that's what Yehuda, Yosef, did not want that Yehuda should discover his identity. Yosef wanted, if there is a question of discovering the identity, revealing the identity to the brothers, so let Yosef do it. That's what Yosef thought. Let I'll do it, but not you. But not Yehuda. And when Yehuda, when Yehuda came over and says, Yosef understood that the brothers, Yehuda knows him. And in order to prevent Yehuda from revealing the identity of Yosef, to be the first one to reveal the identity of Yosef, so Yosef had no choice but to reveal himself. And actually, if you read the parsha carefully, you'll find that when Yehuda is about, there is no division of parshas from the Benafshi, Tzura Benafshi, Veli Yochel Yosef, Veli Sapak, there was no, is there a division of parshas? No division of parshas. The Torah tells us that Yehuda salvation, Veli Yochel Yosef, Veli Sapak, that's one parsha. It's correct? Huh? What does it mean? There was a race between Yehuda and Yosef. And Yosef did not want Yehuda to find out, to be the one who would have revealed I mean, the parshas, his identity. He wanted him, that if his identity is going to be revealed, so then it should be done, it should be done by Yosef, not by Yehuda. And the more Yehuda kept on coming, repeating the story, and Yosef felt that Yehuda hasn't told the truth yet. He has something in his such a bosom pocket, something which will be sensational. You imagine what the prime minister, somebody, a prisoner, a Hebrew prisoner, has recognized the prime minister as the prime minister. As a Hebrew boy who was kidnapped. So Yosef did not want Yehuda to reveal. So that's why he says, when Yochel Yosef Leisapi, he couldn't suffer it anymore, he couldn't tolerate it anymore. For what reason? Because he didn't want Yehuda to say it. So he interrupted Yehuda, but Yosef felt that Yehuda is coming closer and closer. Yehuda has something in his pocket. When Yochel Yosef started to interrupt, he interrupted Yehuda because Yehuda's statement in that Torah is incomplete. The same parsha. What was the last parsha before Yosef? What did Yehuda say?
Hence.
So what did you say? Hence, so what? Hence, Yosef understood that Yehuda at this point, Yehuda may reveal a truth which Yehuda knows and no one else. When Yochel Yosef is subject to Chela Mitzvah, they couldn't tolerate the idea that yes, Yehuda will reveal his identity. For if his identity is going to be revealed, so he himself should do it. Vayikra Yosef v'chol hanimtzoyim. Asir Yishmael. So Yosef, there was a race between Yosef and Yehuda. And he interrupted Yehuda, and Yosef was the one who announced it. That's why there is no hefset of a parsha between which should the hefset divide. I mean, first of all, it should, when the Yochel Yosef is up, it should be the beginning of a parsha. There isn't. There are two psukim which follow each other. Because Yehuda and Yosef interrupted Yehuda in order to make this announcement. And this Yosef Achicha. And this is exactly what Mechira says, more or less, is. Basically, it was the Shach Levitarye between Yehuda and Yosef. The Medrash says, Omru Ashvotim, Melech u Melech misfakchim ze bo ze. Onu ma etzoim. Onu ma nase. It means it was the last few moments there was conflict between Yosef and Yehuda. Not between Ashvotim and Yosef. Yosef and Yehuda, was the question is the role which Yosef will play in Jewish history and Yehuda's role. There was competition between Yosef and Yehuda. It was competition. And who should take over the prayer and many things were given to Yosef and then the Shvatim came, and Yosef has actually, as far as this conflict is concerned, who won, Yehuda or Yosef? Who won? Yehuda won. It means, why Yehuda, how do you know that Yehuda won? Because Malchus, Melech HaMashiach, is Yehuda, not Yosef. On the other hand, what do you say? Yes, with regard to other privileges, Yosef was the winner. But Malchus, Yosef didn't. Yosef wanted Malchus, and that's why he was racing to catch up with Yehuda, in order that the Malchus should belong to him, to Yosef. Because whoever discovered the identity was entitled to the privilege to become the Melech Yisrael. And that's why Yosef was very exceptionally apprehensive about the possibility that Yehuda will discover him. But nevertheless, for other reasons, Yosef did not win the Malchus, but the one who won, as far as Malchus is concerned, is Yehuda. And that's exactly Mechiras Yosef, Eri Shel Melech HaMashiach. When Yosef was sold, it was the problem already was who is the Mashiach, the identity of Mashiach, is he a descendant of Yosef or a descendant of Yehuda? And already on the first day of Mechiras Yosef, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was busy, Kaviyochel concerned with the image of the Melech HaMashiach. Should it have the image of Yosef, the Melech HaMashiach, or of Yehuda? And interesting is that actually the one who won from this conflict between Yehuda and Yosef was Yehuda, not Yosef. This also could be Melech HaMashiach. The Melech HaMashiach was selected on the day of Mechiras Yosef. All right. So you have questions? I can't answer you all the questions, but some decent questions if you want to ask. Yeah?
What is the difference
halt er. Jehude Eder kijkt er karakteristisch, trägt. En Lezing had een karakteristiek trait. Wat was Lezing's karakteristiek trait? Wat was het? Of course, you have to introduce here the parsing of Lezing in next episode. What is the feature which Yaakov actually described as the characteristic feature? Which Yaakov described with his great enthusiasm and love. Well, what was it? What did he say? Yes, sure, there is an officer, yeah. No. Beauty. What is the brother of Yeshua? Gvura, majesty, gvura, authority, is his, not Rebbe Lecho, Yaki, Yehuda, everybody used to listen to Yehuda. Rubin said that, Mashkachir Bachat Abel, so did they ignore his remarks and the killed and destroyed Jesus. Then Yehuda said, my best friend, so they listen to Yehuda. Yehuda was the commanding voice of a nation. Majesty, gvura, might. His personality, all the tremendous personality. However, but he was courageous. Yehuda was courageous. Yehuda is the representative of what? He represents a certain idea. Probably the idea of majesty, of gvura, of courage. Of Rodo, correct. But he had a certain quality to his character as far as Yehuda is concerned. Yehuda, the Chazal described Yehuda and portrayed him, is Yehuda had the keyach, the strength, the authority, not only to rule others, but to admit that he's wrong and his adversary is right. Yehuda had it. And this most probably was the reason why Yehuda, despite of Yehuda's mistake at the very beginning, that he advised the brothers sell Yosef, in spite of that, Yehuda came out of Mashiach's Yosef, came out somehow clean. Why? Because Yehuda had the strength of character to say Tzotkom Imeni when Tzotkom Imeni was not very popular. The Gemara says about David, the Gemara says, Neuma Geber, who come home? Neuma Geber, who come home? Who is the person who is above everything, who is more important than anybody else? The Gemara, who come home, David, Sheheki Mule, shall Shabbalah Tshuva. David is the Yehuda, Yehuda and David, and the Malach HaMashiach. The greatness of Yehuda lied in not sinning. The Medrash, the Zayah says, and the Gemara, the Medrash like that, the Zayah says that basically David made Choto, Basheva's daughter, Basheva, and but David was the Baal Tshuva, the great Baal Tshuva, who said to Noson HaNovi, Chotoshi, the great Baal Tshuva. This was the Tehadavi, Tehadavi. Jesuskeyach lied in something else, in not sinning. In not sinning, in not committing a sin. They, because the story from the Tehera. David thought of Bathsheba, his greatness was not, David's greatness was, did not express itself through abstaining from sin. No, but his greatness consisted in having the courage of admitting whenever he was wrong. Many times the David said, it's wrong. I'm responsible. Now the question is, Yosef and Yehuda. What should the Melech HaMashiach, what should the emphasis on the Melech HaMashiach be? Courage? Kun Gurah Yehuda. Gurah Yehuda. What's the pasuk Gurah Yehuda? No? Can you say it again? Yes, so the Mendel Kosma used to say, Gerar Ye Yehuda, why is a lion? Say the Pasuk again.
Gur Arye Yehuda, Miter Sini Alisa, Karar Ravat Karye
Yehuda. When Yehuda falls, when David or Yehuda falls, he falls like a lion. Because always in tshuva is a question of lack of courage. I'll do tshuva. What kind of tshuva? I mean, who told you to sin? The Yehuda, even when Yehuda fell, in times of crisis and hurt and mistakes, is klari. There was no need to encourage him. He had the courage coming from within. But Yosef is what the Rambam calls in Shmei Prokim, a chosid mitive, an ethical personality who did not have to defy sin. He rejected sin and then he never yielded to temptation. Yehuda yielded to temptation. That's why the story of Tomor is told. Why was it the story of Tomor told? Because Tomor was the mother later, she is the mother of the Melech HaMashiach. Is Yehuda? Yehuda made a mistake. The whole story is a mistake, apart from it. But he was tough. All hurt by two words, Tzad Kamenai. This was Yehuda. Yosef, when Mrs. Petifera told him, suggested to him, illicit act, he said, what? Echo. So Yosef answered, what did Yosef answer? In Vayishev. Echo Eshe Shiroa Gdelo. Echo Eshe Aroa Gdelo. Vechotos Rekim. No. No. There was nothing to have Yeshu that stay from. Yeshu did not know what Shiva is. There was no need for him for Shiva. They didn't know what is true. What is true when you commit a sin? How is it possible to commit a sin? He said, Echocho ere boro, what is it? Reuchau. Echo ese, he couldn't understand how one commits a chet. He couldn't understand it. David understood it. But he couldn't understand it. Why? He had no strength. And he didn't know how to commit a sin, how to violate the moral law, how to violate the will of God. This is what the Rambam calls a chosid mitive. Yehuda wasn't like that. Vayirad Yehuda malecho. Dr. Rashi said, Yehuda could lower himself. Yehuda was not, Yehuda many times committed a chet. Or the story of Tomor, this itself. The story of Bathsheba and so forth. So Yehuda never said the Chocho Uchal, Yehuda or David, the Chocho Uchal was such a raw as this. I couldn't say it. But Yehuda has something else. The strength and the heroic determination to renounce that after he committed it. and to rise. When the lion falls, he rises because later the lion rises as a lion, with courage. This is Gurari Yehuda, better of Neil Israel. Rova, Kora, Rovatskaye, Ucholovi, Mikamanu, who was necessary to help him. There was not no one who should have helped him. There was no need for who should help him if he hadn't been the lion himself. And this is basically it is the clash between two ideas. Majesty, Efi, and the idea of majesty, this means tshuva, and the idea for chassidus, which does not require tshuva at all, because the achosid mitivei never sins. What should the Melech HaMashiach, where should the Dodesh Chozok and Melech HaMashiach? What do you say? You said, where should you place the Dodesh, the emphasis upon the idea of Melech HaMashiach? That is apparently Kodesh Baruch Hu decided that the emphasis should be placed upon Shuvah. There is Shuvah, Mokim Tzadikim Gmurim, and then something else. And Melech, who is actually a Melech, who is the Shechet on, he is the judge and the ruler of the people, should understand Chesed and Rachmim, and Achiti, sometimes when Achiti appears before him, what is that? Achiti appears before him, he should have sympathy with the Achiti and help him to tshuva, not condemn him. Yesir was too much of a chosid mitivei. Yesir was a chosid mitivei. A chosid mitivei doesn't understand, and sometimes he has no sympathy with the Achiti because he doesn't know what chet is. A Melech BeYisrael who deals with hundreds of people and is to help them and to pardon them should also know that sometimes a chete may do tshuva and rai and help people and make them get up from their fall like Ari. And that's why Moshiach ben Yosef lost, Moshiach ben David won. What have you done? This is more or less how I interpret Moshiach's issue. And the most important here is the Abeke Reyer Vanoshim Shuchu in contrast with Vayishto Vayishto Vayishto. The change of the personality in Yesus and in others, and the brothers. All right. Necessary. But otherwise, Mechiras Yesus, I mean the alienation of the brothers, would have taken more time. And if the alienation of the brothers, I don't know what would have happened, but in this Yaakov, the Knesset Yisrael, would have perhaps lost the chance for being the Amma Nifcho. What would have happened if Yosef hadn't admitted to the brother that he is their brother? It's very hard to imagine. But apparently, it was the last time that Yosef and the brother had. It was the last warning that was given to Yitzchak and the brothers. Either you reconcile now, or the covenant with Avraham, your grandfather, and with your father, will be annulled and forgotten. The Ashgoche, actually, it was determined to bring about the reconciliation between Yitzchak and the brothers not later than that morning, after Yosef and the brothers spent the night in secret and complete irrationality. It's very hard to know why the Ashgoche did it, But this is the drama with the Torah tells us about. Yosef was taken between two events, but he was actually overcome by a desire to be vindictive and to pay them back in kind. And Yosef could have done it, and by a desire of exercising and giving love of a brother. He didn't know what to do. That's why he kept on telling you that he should bring Binyamin and arguing with them whether they are spies or not. He simply, to gain time, he didn't know. The first time when he met them, he actually was hostile to them. You see, the whole conversation is hostile. He spoke like an Egyptian tyrant, actually. Because why is it here as a Chalemis? You remember. And remembering the Chalemis in part of Yosef is very bad. Because if you remember, what kind of feeling can the Chalemis arise? I mean, raise. What kind of feeling? There's one feeling, vindictiveness in the comment. But otherwise, what did he remember? He couldn't remember anything good in Beis Yaakov. But whatever any memory had of Beis Yaakov was what of humiliation, of envy, and finally of murder, of selling him as a slave. This was the first reaction. Then the Ashbacher wanted another experience on the part of Yosef. The second time, Vayimer al Beis, means, I love my brothers. I love them. They are my brothers, no matter what they have the experiences I had with them. They are my brothers. Not spies of Egypt. And he told Lasher obviously to set a table. And he spent one night in brotherly love with the Shvatim who came to Mitzrayim the second time. And basically, and in general, what he did, he could have actually lost his life, because he had Pare known about it, about the feast and the gifts and the relationship. Who knows what how Pare would have responded to such a. To such a performance at the part of Yosef. Most probably would have been removed from office and executed as a spy, no doubt about it. Never know the Egyptian justice. It's in criminal code, I mean, could rest assured they would have done the Egyptian, the Yosef. What's his name in Persia? What's his name for you? Ah? You made it to the Israel. And he took the chance. Because after this war, who wanted him, what chance did he take? He somehow, suddenly, he was debating in his mind, suddenly he felt a great love. He loves his brother. A great love. Who implanted the love in him? Who? But this was a great love. He couldn't control himself. By Yishtra Yishtra, once drunk, he can't do much. Great love. No, I cannot desert my brothers. They remain brothers. Pare will never be my brother. But they are going to be my brother. We'll suffer together. We'll have a common history. How can I betray all that for an Egyptian office, a prime minister? And that's where there was an outpour of love. An outpour of devotion. And they exchanged gifts. There was a great experience. They actually did not have the experience of brotherliness for a long time. He was 17 when he was sold. He lost his brothers, not only 17 when he sold, even in Beis Yaakov. He didn't enjoy brotherly love because they didn't like him. They were envious of him. They didn't like him. They were ready to kill him. And later, what did he enjoy? What did he have the experience the joy of brotherliness, the experience of joy of having a mother the experience of joy of having a father. He had nobody. He started for a while in Yaakov, but he had nothing. It was completely an experience which was completely stripped of the joy of experiencing life together with my family. I remember a few years ago, it was in Kippur, and it was announced in Shul that those that are ready, those who have parents, should step out of the Bishmedrash. I don't know why, but anyway, this is a minute. Yes. So the availability, those who have parents, began to leave the shul. So somebody, claimed by the birth, said quite, his voice was audible, what he speaks. What does it mean? Ein baranesh mate b'nisu. People who are capable of having experiences the wonderful love for a father and a mother are the luckiest in the world. Yeshu didn't have it. Yeshu didn't have it. Neither mother nor father, you know that very well. No, and here's the question, what should Yeshu do? The first time he suppressed all his love, which apparently became was awakened with the appearance of the of his brothers. He said no. But Yizik has such people without any sense of sympathy for father, particularly the father, this one kept on asking them, Aedovichoy, Aedovichoy, Aedovichoy. You get tired of the question, Aedovichoy, Aedovichoy, Aedovichoy. Why did he care? Why did he knew the others? He told him the first time, he's hoy, why should Jacob say, Yaakov die suddenly? And he kept on there. And he said, they haven't gone back to the earth now. How could they actually, know whether they are Vichem Azok and Chai? Or any Chai, we don't know, you know as much as you. They told me the day before us, hoy. The Yankee is healthy and strong. Because then when he made the confession, again, Aida Vichoy. Yesterday you asked, so he gave you the answer, what's Aida Vichoy? The answer is, he said, I don't care about my destiny, which was affected by the Mesiras Yeshiv. But how could you do it to father? And this is a very plain complaint that the Rabbanim will hear such a thing. What did you do to father? This was an experience which actually could awaken in the heart of Yosef, a feeling of cruelty and a desire for vindictiveness and for malicious treating of the brothers. He could have paid them back, taken above Hamisha, when they came to Egypt. The first time, Valizakir as a Chalemet, he remembered the Chalemet, and there was nothing good to be remembered in the episodes of the period of the Chalemet, so many years ago. What could he remember? Cruelty. The attempt of the brothers to stifle him and his ability. Envy. If this is the Sechira Shechalim, so what could he have done? He should have arrested immediately and sentenced later to death. For so many crimes, we didn't do that. This was the Ashgore. The experience of one death of the Nekome. But the Ashgore didn't let him execute this experience or this desire on his part, the desire of destruction. And Yitzchak HaLevi said, the best he could do is to arrest them as spies. Why was it necessary? During the time, after all, they'll go back home. Yeshiv himself was confused what to do with himself. During the time, they'll go home, they'll come back, and they'll negotiate with Adenioret. His experience, as far as his relationship to them is concerned, changed. Would change. That's why the Ashgoche aroused in him the memory of the Chalemes. in order to that at the beginning it was a very bad, negative, destructive memory, but finally he still didn't know. He was to do this and that. This was the first experience was a negative experience. Then came the second arrival. In the second arrival, the Yeshiva was not asked by Das Goche. The Yeshiva was not actually told so, but suddenly Yeshiva saw the brothers the second time when they came to his home. He could not contain himself, and he felt great love for them. And how could he express the love for them? By receiving them like a brother and bestowing gifts, bestowal of gifts like a brother, and so forth. So on. So the second experience was that of brotherliness. But this was just an experience of one night. During the one night, Yeshiv re-experienced all the love that he lacked, that has been lacking since he was an infant at the time of Rochel's death. All the love that he didn't have any love, he was a lonely person, you see. With whom could he associate? With the Egyptian pagans. Was a lonely man. So all the strength of his emotion, of his emotions, I mean, the second, when they arrived, when he saw them for the second time, was so overwhelming. So overwhelming that he acted like a drunk without any logic. He was confused, he didn't know. He finally did something which would have actually, which would have put him in jail and would have demoted him from his office. And he would have been denounced as a spy. All that was swept aside. The experience of brotherliness and the desire to love for father took over. And he stopped playing the game of Meraglim Atem, because he was a sincere brother. What I want to say, that when Yosef, I want you to understand, when Yosef told the Rasha Albeisev to prepare the reception, Yosef was sincere, was not lying. It was not a reception, just a make-believe reception, that Yosef did it in order to achieve some, I don't know what Yosef wanted to achieve if it hadn't been sincere. It was sincere. Yes, he felt like a brother. He forgot the Halevis. There was no way he's here anymore. He forgot the Halevis. What Halevis? What Halevis? They didn't do me anything. What do you mean they didn't do him anything? After all, they sold him as a slave. No, Yes, he already had the answer. They said, you sold me as a slave because I saved Mitzrayim. If not for Yom Mechira, Mitzrayim in the Middle East would have been completely destroyed by the famine, by starvation. So Yosef already has reconciled himself with them for one night.
Why didn't he reveal himself?
Because they had to suffer a little more. One more night and a couple of hours of the day. But actually, I'm not the Jew joking. And then, Abay Kerer, his experience changed, Ranoshim Shulchu, and again, Yosef was ready to do something. Yosef had the same dilemma, just for one night. But he was with the Yochel Yosef by Sapok, and this happened. Huh? All right, what can I do? Thank you.